You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
We've been in a series called Story, My Story. All of us is going to have a story to tell. Our lives is going to be a story. Craig Groeschel said, "The decisions you make today determine the story you will tell tomorrow." Think about that. The decisions you make today will determine the story you will tell tomorrow. And that fits in with what I just shared about being the only Bible that some people will actually read and see. And so, is your story worth telling? It's the first thing I want to ask you this morning. If it's not, then you can do a do-over. In golf, they call it a mulligan. Okay? God allows mulligans. Matter of fact, He encourages them. I've done many in my own life where I've had to start over, make amends, do something different and change. And so I encourage you today, as we talk a little bit about starting to serve, deciding to serve, to remember that we talked about starting to start. John talked about one thing that we need to start that'll help us in the battle. Okay? And then one thing we decide to stop, one thing to stop so that you can be doing what God wants you to do. And then last week, Phil talked to us about deciding to stay. Sometimes when things get bad or when things go south and we're discouraged, we want to run. We get scared and we want to run. We get discouraged and we want to run. We get frustrated and we want to run. Most of the time, if we stay, God's got a plan in all of that. And I think it fits a little bit of what we're going to talk about today, that I decided to serve. The scripture verse we're going to talk about today comes from the second chapter of Ephesians. It's Paul's letter to Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus. And he's letting them know that they have not been saved by their good works. Apparently, there must have been some discussion about being saved by works, being good enough, and that God would come. And so Paul wrote in the second chapter, beginning with the 8th verse, he said, "For we are God's masterpiece. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. This is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." He was reminding them that we're not saved by good works. But then he was telling them, but you're saved for good works. That you are His masterpiece. When you come to know Christ, in Christ, you become God's masterpiece. It's when your story is begin to be written that's worth telling, is when you come to know Christ. You are God's masterpiece, and God don't make no junk. Turn to your neighbor. Look at your neighbor right now and say, "God don't make no junk." You were made to tell a story. As we read this from Paul, it says, "So we can do the good works He planned for us long ago. He created you long ago as that masterpiece, and He was getting you ready to be His masterpiece for His purpose. As His masterpiece, you were created for God's purpose to serve." In Psalms, David wrote it this way, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You see, David wrote this and he knew that God created him. And he knew that He ordained all the days of his life. And that David didn't have to worry about being somebody he wasn't. He just had to be the person that God created him to be. God, good works that He planned for us in advance. You see, God made you for this moment in history. His design for you, He created you and gave you everything you needed for this time right now, today. And that's kind of how this is going to relate to the game of golf. In the game of golf, we have a golf bag and we have a lot of clubs in it, okay? If you've never played golf before, or very little. You probably don't realize that the reason there's all these clubs, it's not because you can wrap one around a tree and then you take another one out and get frustrated and wrap it around a tree. Each one has a design. Every one of these clubs in this bag has a purpose. All the way from the biggest club, which is the driver, on down to the smallest club, the putter. They're all designed for a purpose, to be used for a reason in this golf bag. And so I'm going to kind of share today. I want you to think of the golf bag as the church. All right? And I want to think, and Hunter didn't like this idea, but it's the one God gave me. So Hunter, take it up with him. You're a golf club, okay? Now, some of you may be the driver. Some of you may be a long iron. Some of you may be a wedge. Some of you may be a putter, okay? But you belong in the bag. The church needs you in the bag because God created you for a purpose, and that purpose was to serve him. Now, you may be standing here saying, you know, what have I got to offer? I have nothing to offer. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I don't really have anything to offer. Yeah, I'm glad God has saved me, and I'm this new creation, but I have nothing to offer. Well, you're totally wrong, because God has given you everything you need to do what he wants to do with your life. He's given you a shape. First, let's go to 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 3. It says, God's divine power has given you everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. He's given you everything you need. And Job said it this way, your hands shaped me and made me. You shaped me and made me. You see, you have a shape. And we're going to break that down into an acrostic. And I'm going to show you how God has made you who you are by everything that's gone on into your life up to this point and how he's going to use that in the future, okay? So the first thing I want to share with you, the letter S, spiritual gifts. Your shape starts with the spiritual gifts. As you become a creature of God, as you become a child of God, not a creature, some of us are creatures, but as you become a child of God, God gives you a gift. And then the gift is himself. He comes and lives in you. So the Spirit resides inside of you. And in that Spirit, there are gifts. And you can read further about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. Ephesians 4 also lists some spiritual gifts from chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. And then Romans 12, verses 5 through 8. Talks about the spiritual gifts that God has given all of us and gives them out generously. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean everybody has every gift. But all of us have something that God's given us that's supernatural in us. That's his spiritual gift. I want to encourage you to go online and do a word search, do a search for a spiritual gifts test or spiritual gifts analysis. And take that test. And it'll break it down and show you areas of your life that God has gifted you in. And show you some of those gifts that are strongest in your life. Because he has given you these for his purpose to use you. Okay? He's also given you a heart. The H. What is it that you're passionate about? What is it that tears you up or that tears up inside of you when you hear it? Or when you read about it? Or when you see it? That's the heart that God gave you. It's compassion. I look at it as compassion. My wife has been a school teacher she taught school for 27 years. She has a heart for children, and especially babies, if she'll gravitate toward anybody that brings a baby in. That's a heart that she's had for that. She has this compassion for young people, for young children, and she wants to be around them all the time. And so her heart, God's given her a heart for young people. What has God given you a heart for? What is that thing that you look at? Is it water for everyone? Is it disease, you know, that's been cured and we can't get the medicines to the third world country? What is that thing? Maybe it's for your neighbors and their salvation. Yet there's a heart that God's put inside of you. The A in shape are your natural abilities. God gives each one of us a natural ability, things that you can do on your own that you're good at, okay? And we're going to talk about an athlete at the end of the worship service today, but you see these athletes on television. Yesterday, did you anybody watching the U.S. Open? Since we're not talking about golf, we'll kind of. Okay, Justin Thomas. Did you see Justin Thomas yesterday? He knocked it on a par four with a three wood. It was a 280-some yard par four. Knocked it on in one, two putted, made a nice birdie. But and then on the last hole, in the 18th hole, he knocks it on in two. It was a 660 yard par five, and he hit a 300 yard three wood to knock it on the green and ended up making eagle on the last hole. That's some of you people I can see right now just going. But those golfers are there saying, yeah, I saw that, man. It was awesome. You see, he has a natural ability. God's given him that natural ability to play golf. Okay, that's not a spiritual gift. Okay, that's a natural ability. Some of us have natural abilities that we haven't used in the kingdom of God yet. When I got my call into full-time ministry back in 1992, God poked me on the shoulder, tapped me on the shoulder, and he goes, guess what? He said, you're a pretty good salesman. Guess who gave you that gift? Now I want you to use it for me for a little while. And that's how I got turned into full-time ministry and planted two church plants in Missouri, was because God tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want you to use your natural abilities that I gave you for me and my purpose. And my spiritual gift then was administration. So I was really good at administering and getting things organized. And so my first church plant, that was really cool because I got a lot of things started on the right track, and that church is still going today. It's called Journey Christian Church in Lebanon, Missouri. And then the second church is Potter's House Church in Camdenton, Missouri. And I was able to come alongside one of the best teaching pastors that I've ever been around, Tom Ford, and be his administrator and co-pastor or assistant pastor. And help that church be organized and have a system in place to grow the church. So God used my natural abilities along with his spiritual gifts to make a difference in his kingdom. P, personality. Now, not everybody has the personality to be able to get up in front of a bunch of people and speak. I'm not real comfortable with it. But I do it. As you can see, I'm nervous. I'm pacing up and down here. I know I'm pacing up and down, but that's because I'm releasing nervous energy. But your personality, God's given some people to be outgoing, some people to be introverts, some to be gregarious, given all kinds of different personalities. That's a gift from God that he wants to use in as he's put you together. And then finally, your life experience. We read how God said he knit you together in the womb. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He ordained the days of your life. He knew before you were going to come to him and give him your life, he knew you. He created you. He knew the things in your life that you were going to do to get you to that, to the point where you're going to say yes to him. He knows the things that you're going to do from that point till he calls you home. He knows those things. Those are your life experiences. My mom and dad experienced something that is not unique to anybody, but it is part of their shape. They experienced the death of a son. You know, I don't know what that's like. I haven't had to bury a child before. I mean, as the father, I expect to die first in my family. And when it doesn't happen, when you have a death of a child, before that, you start asking questions. But it becomes part of your experience then. You see, they'll be able to use that experience like no one else can. Your shape then uniquely creates you to do exactly what God's calling you to do. He equips you with everything you need. He's given you that shape, and all he says is, it's time to serve me. It's time to serve me. The question you want to ask yourself is, in what way can I see myself passionately serving others and loving it? Because here's what I know. If you're not happy doing what you're doing, you're not going to keep doing it, and you're not going to do it to the best of your ability. Andy Stanley tells a story about a part of ministry that he felt like it was the pastor's responsibility to do these things. And he hated doing them. Literally did not want to be to do the things he was doing, but he could do them, and he did them. And so what happens, Bill Hybels explains, that as you do those things that you really don't like to do, that you don't have a heart to do, but you can do them, it drains your energy. Are you doing things that drain your energy? What he found out was that the thing that he dreaded the most, one day he made a comment in the office about, oh, I have to do this. And the secretary that's working there goes, oh, well, I can do that for you. I love to do those. I love to do that. You see, that was in her shape. God created her with whatever that she liked to do, the thing that drained energy from Andy Stanley. And so when he was able to relieve himself of doing those things, it opened him up to be able to do the things that he loved to do and that he wanted to do. And so it gave him more time. So what is it that you're doing, or what is it that you should do that you would be passionately, do it passionately and love it each and every day? God created you to serve him by serving others. 1 Peter 4 puts it this way, each one of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others. And Jesus, you know, in one of the greatest sermons ever, and then later on in Matthew 20:28 says, whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So if we want to be like our Father, our good, good Father, who sent his Son in his likeness, then should we not want to be like Jesus and serve like him? You see, Jesus gave Moses his staff, gave David, the shepherd boy, his staff. He's given them jobs to do, and they did them faithfully. And then God used that into his kingdom. So God has uniquely made you and created your story that when you tell it, it'll change someone else's life forever. Living out your life using the shape that God's given you can change someone else's life forever. Again, Ephesians 4 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Skipping then to verse 16, it says, from him the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Your church needs you. God created you to be part of the church and to have a part in it, so that when you join the church and you become part of that church and you start serving that church, it all the ligaments and everything comes together and it's full and it's rich and it's satisfying and it changes the world. Too often in the Christian faith, you know, I questioned for a long time. I was raised in the Lutheran church and became Methodist after I married my wife. And then when I became a pastor, I was in non-denominational churches, to the two church plants. And you look at the reason we chose non-denominational in both the church plants is because the Christian faith in a lot of denominations carry baggage with it. We, as Christians, we can't even get along as Christians and agree on anything. God gave us one great commission. Terry shared this with us last night. Man, it just resonated with me. He gave us one great commission. Go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. And know I am with you always. Why can't we just get along on that? Go and make disciples. What is a disciple? It's a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus, if he's not the basis of what we do, then we have nothing. Then these clubs mean nothing, that the church means nothing. If Jesus is not the basis of that. That's why the scripture verse, as Paul was very clear in this, okay? It says, for you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. You see, if you're not created in Christ Jesus, then there's something missing. I mentioned that I was going to talk about another golfer, okay? There's a golfer that's been in the news quite a bit the last several weeks over on the East Coast. You know what I'm talking about, right? Something missing in his life, big time, because he's got all the natural ability in the world. He has a great personality. If you visit with him, he's got a great personality. I don't know about his life experiences. I do know that he's had a divorce, and he got a 2-iron through a windshield of his car, and so he's got some experiences. And I don't know what he has a heart for. I think he says he has a heart for his children. But what he's missing is out. It's the spiritual side of it. He hasn't been made new in Christ Jesus. In Christ, you're a new creation. You're a masterpiece. And so it has to begin with Jesus. Because if it doesn't, there'll be something missing. Our friends and neighbors, folks, I'm going to tell you, I live in a subdivision. It's a gated subdivision, and we've had friends that have sent their kids to some of our children's activities, and they say, oh, you know, they just loved it, and they just keep begging me to bring them back, and Sunday after Sunday, they never show up. And I got to ask the question, why? Why? There's something missing in their life. They're not going to find it going somewhere on Sunday to go have fun, okay? You're not going to find it out on the golf course. Although, well, maybe. Let's see. But how many people do you know that have boats or wave runners or golf clubs or tennis rackets or they go on vacation all the time? They got all kinds of toys. Because they've used the natural abilities their Creator gave them. But they're missing out on one small aspect. No, one huge aspect. Jesus is not the reason they're living. They need Him. They need Christ in their life so that their story can begin. You see, their shape is already being formed, but their story hasn't begun until they accept Christ, until they come to Him. So this morning, what I want to do, I want to read to you this scripture verse from Ephesians 2. It said, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like anyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. This morning, point one is that as Christ followers, you are His masterpiece. He created you into something that can be used for Him in His kingdom. And so maybe this morning your decision needs to be, I will start serving. I'm going to get in the bag. I'm a singer, and so I want to be part of the praise band. I'm a drummer. I'm a guitar player. I'm a hospitality person. I know how to bake things. I know how to make a nice presentation. Maybe you need to get involved in setting things up from the kitchen. Maybe you need to be a greeter. Maybe you're outgoing and you love visiting with people, shaking their hands and welcoming them. Then maybe you need to be a greeter out front. Maybe you just want to serve by helping with the communion on Sundays, where you can say the blood, body and blood of Christ given for you. find a place in this church that you can serve. Maybe it's the children's ministry. I'm skipping probably the most significant ministry that we have here, and that's our children's ministry. Like I said, the biggest mission field all of us have are the little ones that are around us, raising them in the faith. Because if their parents, guess what? If your neighbor's parents, your neighbors aren't bringing their kids to church, where are they going to learn about Adam, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Paul, Peter? Where are they going to learn that? Where are they going to learn about Jesus? They're not going to get it at school. We can't talk about that stuff in school anymore. Maybe this morning your decision needs to be, I'm going to start serving. I'm going to find my shape. I'm going to work on, I'm going to ask people what my shape is, and I'm going to start serving. Maybe this morning you realize that you weren't even in the bag yet. Maybe this morning you said, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing God speak. He wants me. He loves me. Even though I did all of these things, He still loves me. Maybe your decision this morning needs to be, I'm going to join the family. I'm going to become my masterpiece. I'm going to become His masterpiece. I'm going to let Him provide me with the spiritual gifts. I'm going to find my shape then, and I'm going to serve Him because He loved me so much. That song is a great song. He loves us. And I know you guys use the words unforeseen kiss. You know, I like the other one, sloppy wet kiss. Jesus loves you so much. I've made so many mistakes in my life. Ask Chris, she'll tell you. But the one thing I know is Jesus loves me. My brother, who passed away at 49 years old, the one thing I know is he knew Jesus loved him. It keeps me up at night not knowing that some people don't know. Some people I know and love don't really know Jesus. They know about him. They've heard some of the stories. They don't know him. They have not become the masterpiece yet, because they're not in Christ. And so maybe today you're that person, that your story has a shape started, but you need to make that decision today. There's no better time to do it than today. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you sent your son, Jesus. You love us so much that you gave up your only son that came and died for us. And then he conquered death by being raised after. Lord, thank you.